Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to sing about the faithfulness of God. Are you ready to sing with us? We're going to sing about His faithfulness. He's such a faithful God. I've seen Him show up for me in unique ways. You know, that's why I'm quite reckless when I worship. I start doing anyhow, anywhere beloved is. Somebody say anywhere beloved is. Are you ready to worship God with me like that? That is the kind of worship I want. So put your head, somebody scream. Woo! It's open to open your mouth and begin to pray the Holy Ghost.
Word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yeshua, thank you. Jehoshua, praise you, Lord. Praise you, God, hallelujah. We serve such a wonderful God. We serve a good God, thank you, Lord. And he definitely is faithful. So none of us can complain of his faithfulness. Faithful is our God, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. What an awesome God we serve, my brother and my sister. We are grateful for his faithfulness. We are grateful for his love, his mercy that endure forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for those, hallelujah, that are joining us tonight. Lord, help your people to join us tonight in Jesus' name, Lord. Send billions and trillions of words, angel, archangels, and cherub, Lord. Speak to our life, Lord. Take our worry, our concern. Lord Jesus, as you said in your word, to come to you, Lord. Hallelujah. All that labor, heavy burden. Hallelujah, Lord. That you will give us rest. We're praying for rest, Lord, from you, Jesus. That you, Lord, will help us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, that you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Lord is dear for us, my brother and sister. The Lord is here for us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we are grateful. Lord, send billions or trillions of words, angel. Clean out the air. We bind the strong men of the spirit from north to south, east to west, up and down. In Jesus' name, you defeat them, Lord, at the cross. We proclaim, we reclaim, we proclaim and declare victory at the cross in Jesus' name. Mighty Lord, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty God, let your word go forward tonight. Lord, minister, speak to our life according to our need, Lord Jesus. Lord Yeshua, Lord Jehoshua, you are in control. Break the plan of the evil one, Lord, against us, against our ministry, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Increase our ministry, Lord. Let the range, let it reach out to the nation, to the world, to the people. Remove the wall, all bandage of the enemy, Lord. All limitation of the enemy, Lord, remove it. Let our ministry go forward. Let the word that you have given to us, Lord, go forward, Lord. As the last, Lord, hallelujah, work that we need to do for your glory and your praise. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. Minister. Minister to your people, the Lord. Minister to your church. Minister to our brothers and sisters, Lord, across the world, across the nation. Let your power, let your word go forward, Lord. A minister to every life listening, Lord Jesus. Every brother or sister, Lord, that will listen to this ministry, to this message, we ask you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, that your word will go forward, Lord. Your word will be strong, clear in their life and their mind, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Yeshua name, we pray to the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glorify yourself in our life, Lord. Glorify thyself in our life, Lord Jesus. Lord, that your will be done. Thy will be done on earth, Lord Jesus, as it is in heaven, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. You are a good God. You are awesome God. You are a great God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Yeshua. Let your presence come over this place, this ministry tonight. Lord, send billions and trillions of words, angel, anointing angel, powerful angel, Lord, every life come under the blood of Jesus, Lord. Let this message and every word come under the blood of Jesus. Let I only speak what is of you, Lord. Use us, Lord, our vessels, our instrument in your hand, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Yeshua name, we pray, mighty Lord, mighty Jesus, awaking the sleeping bride, awaking the sleeping of the nation, Lord, the sleepiness, the slumber of the nation, Lord. Bring your back unto you, Lord, as the restoration with you, communion with you, Lord, fellowship with you, Lord Jesus, relationship with you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, we pray in your name, Lord. Break the plan of Satan against us in the ministry, against our life, Lord. break the plan of the enemy, of Satan, or demon, or principality, or Nephilim, Lord, or fallen angel, break their plan against us, our life, our ministry, the family, our health, Lord. Break the plan of Satan, Lord, against our health, against our ministry, against our family, Lord Jesus. Lord Yeshua, in Jesus' name, break every change, Lord. Break every change. Hallelujah, Lord. Let it be broken, every change in every life. Listening, that are going to listen, Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord Yeshua, Lord God, hallelujah. We are at the last of the last. Before the shofar, before the trumpet sound. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Shalom, Sister Wendy. Shalom, the Lord's servant. Brother Arlie, Rob. Shalom. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Praise you, God. We serve a wonderful God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is what I experienced, hallelujah, this week, which was such a blessing. Let me play a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I experienced this going up in the cloud of a very high speed, heading home to heaven. And God spoke to me as I was heading home. God spoke to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There were three revelations this week, even four I received. Today, Sunday, being the first day of the week, all the way this going back to Monday, I believe it was four revelations. Thank you, Lord. And both, two of them, God spoke to me. And he spoke to me in such a special way. My brother and my sister, his mercy, his love is dear for us. He loves us so much. And we are thankful for his love, my brother and sister. He let me know this is it. This is it, as he has said to me before. As he has said to us before, because he was talking to me. But since I'm talking to you, you need to understand that God has told us this is it. And God is not playing around. God has told us we will come to this time when he will be bringing his people home. And where are that time, my brother and my sister? Thank you, Lord. And we got to be grateful. We need to be reminded of what God has said and what he is about to do. He's going to take his home. That's what he's going to do, my brother and sister. And there will be a lot of people staying behind crying to the Lord that should have gone home. But he's faithful, and he's trying to bring the last of the last sheep. But the time, as the Lord has said to some of his servants, it's over. People need to understand. Last week, I came here on the Lord's Tower. And I said that what the Supreme Court said, decided about Donald Trump, 9-0, the significance of that was that the woman is 9 months pregnant, and we have 0 time before we go home, my brother and sister. But God the Father did not lift the deer. The following days, the following nights in the morning, he brings me to this place in heaven, my brother and sister. I knew I was in a place of labor and delivery in a hospital. Place was so holy with the presence of God where I was. I didn't know the hospital in heaven. And you will think, why would it be a hospital? The Lord is there. The Lord can heal anyone. But the labor and delivery that he took me to, and I say hospital because that was the atmosphere that I felt as being hospital before. And God was letting me experience the same. It was a revelation. It was an experience God was allowing for me to go through, my brother and sister. Why was I at that labor and delivery place? Okay, here, let me read it for you from 1 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as a travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. Why is this woman in travail? Why is she in labor pain? Because she's about to have a baby. And women that have babies understand this. Especially when you're due to have your baby. Some women don't go to 9 months, but those normally is 9 months. What is that, 39 weeks? And when they get there, they got to go to the hospital, and the baby must be born. And there are complications we talked about. If a woman is due and she's 9 months, and having the baby is delayed, my brother and sister, because the baby will get bigger. He's gaining weight. It's not good for the mother. She had to go into C-section. So my brother and sister, I was in that place of labor. And the women was ready to have the baby. And God let me know that what I was saying about Donald Trump, because it came from the Lord, 9 months, he related it to the women that he was revealing to me in this place that was about to have the baby. And I thank the Lord for that confirmation. I thank God for confirming that yes, she is 9 months. She's already in labor and delivery. She's about to have this baby. And we are the baby that are about to be born. The significance of this woman having this baby is the significance of the bride of Christ going home. And the zero is the time. The zero, 90. The 9 is the month where she's due. The zero is the time that we are supposed to be coming home already. My brother and sister, the rapture of the church is so close, my brother and sister. It is just so close, so close, that we are about to come home, my brother and sister. This is it. This is it. There's no more time. The Lord God has said that the time that was given was given. And the Lord had even said to some of the people, look, while I knew there was some time left, I worked with you in the past to get you ready for this time. But I knew what I was working with, the Lord had said to certain people, about time. There's no more time for the bride to be going home, my brother and sister. And the bride of Christ is about to go home. This got to be a great news for some. People got to be happy for this, my brother and my sister. Because this major event is about to take place. It's about to happen. The other revelation was the children in our nation being vaccinated. I believe it was past Tuesday. I was talking about this. Children being vaccinated across America. And just as the COVID-19 vaccine, these children, family, people were lining up by hundreds of thousands and millions across America to take a ship on the right hand. And I saw how I knew that this new RFID they're coming out with was smaller, was less painful. I mean, it's so tiny that I believe that when people see it, they won't say, no, okay. And then the benefit that these people were presenting about the ship is it is well advanced. It will contain your medical records. It will contain your banking records. And you will be able to bank safely. You will be able to keep your medical records safely. Your children will be tracked anywhere. No more stolen children. This ship, according to what they were saying to everyone, will guarantee everyone's safety. Parents can minister the children from home on their tablet, on their computer, easily. Okay, they can see on the tablet, on the phone, that the children is in school. And if for some reason they get out of school, not only would the parent can minister the children, the school the school can minister them, and the local police can minister the children. So if there's supposed to be a school and there's somewhere showing that they're somewhere else, the police can act quickly, is what they were saying to the people. And it seemed fine to everyone. Senate and Congress were very excited for this, as they were giving a speech to people that this new RFID, this new tracking chip, it's going to be the most wonderful thing people ever had. And everyone was excited for. But the Lord was letting me know, this is the mark of the beast. Okay? I see, when I asked the Lord Jesus, about 3 years ago, I believe it was, he was standing in front of me in the spirit. I said, Lord, is the by seeing the mark of the beast? And he says, it is the same. And the same is because it contains nanotechnology. It worked with the 5G. And people have figured that out. Doctors, engineers have figured that out later, that it does contain 5G and nanotechnology in the vaccine. And that's how they can track people. And then not only that, they can control people. And how do you know that, Brother Elvie? In this past election, the Great Tuesday, some states have Biden at 92%. Well, they have Donald Trump about 80-something percent. If the election go on this year, Biden will win, and some stay by 30% over Donald Trump, my brother and sister. Okay? They got this where they wanted to have it, my brother and sister. And this is the sudden part about all this. It is the sudden part, my brother and sister. But that's another thing. I'm not going to go into that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So yes, they a lot of trafficking with children, and they believe by offering this RFID, this mark of the beast technology, that's going to be put in the in children's right hand. They will not be allowed to put in the left. Even if you ask and request and say, look, I want it to have in the left, they'll say no, it must be in the right hand. The Antichrist is coming back into office and power. Knows exactly what he wants. Time. There were many that got away for not taking the vaccine. He knows this. It could have been a few thousand, a few million. He's not planning to let them get away. He will persecute people. Father God, show me, remember. Okay? Chasing a woman who did not take the vaccine, but chasing her to have the RFID in the right hand. And I saw when the army catch up to her, punch her in her stomach, and said to her, we will not beat you up if you take this chip in the right hand. So she extended her right hand and said, okay. The officer was saying to her, we won't beat you up anymore. Shalom, Sister Regina Rivera. And you will have all the benefit, food stamp and all that. Okay, and that included. That's another thing. The benefit they're going to offer people, food stamp, guarantee. Are you hearing me? I heard this again now for the second time. They will guarantee family, food stamp, guarantee if they take the chip in the right hand, mark of the beast. You heard it here. You have heard it, my brother and sister. Okay? My brother and sister, everything is so close, like people cannot imagine. Okay? People cannot imagine how close it is. We are very close. What I experienced from God was very powerful, very, very powerful. And he spoke to me, and he said to me, I have told you this is it, as I was coming home to heaven. He says, I have told you this is it. Okay? Oh, I got so excited. I got so excited, so excited. When Father spoke to me, he is so loving. He is so caring. He knows exactly what we're going through. He knows my affliction. And I'm very afflicted with all the things that's been going on. Especially when I saw my sons, my two sons coming from school, show me how they got the RFID in the right hand. The mother was going crazy. saying to them, I have told you not to take a vaccine without asking your parents, especially if it's something like the RFID. My brother and sister, they got deceived in this revelation. And I'm praying hard for them, having them read the Bible, read the Word, share. I wish children, teenagers understand how hard and difficult it is for parents to communicate something as such a major importance. This is people eternal life. I don't believe my children are going to stay behind for this. Okay? I don't believe that. Times of testing are here. God show me. Father show me. The Lord has shown me. Obama is coming back into office. Father says, I will allow him to do this. I will allow him, Father says. The Lord showed me this week, Obama is coming back into office. It's not going back anymore. A lot of people don't see what we are. And I hope they understand we're at the end of the end. My brother and sister, some people will watch other people disappear, will watch other people fly home while they stand there, knowing that they could have gone too. We're at such a difficult end of the road, such a difficult time, my brother and sister. And I feel there's so many people not listening, not taking the work to heart. Look, I was so afraid at the beginning of January when the Lord showed me here in North Carolina, had me facing California, the West, about the earthquake coming to California, and this eastern tsunami. Then had me experience the tsunami coming through North Carolina, destroying this state. So many lives being lost by surprise because they were not, some were getting ready to go to work, and boom, the tsunami wiped them. My brother and sister, how else can you get the message to people? This is so hard for preacher, for us to deliver the message. Such a difficult message. People are so caught up with this life. My brother and sister, they don't understand their life here is at stake. Their eternity is at stake because you need to choose who ye are going to serve, said Elijah, to his generations. This day you need to choose. It came a day in the time of Elijah the prophet that people needed to choose who they were going to serve. My brother and sister. Because Elijah had word from God to put the prophet Jezebel to death. Kill them. Kill them. And anyone there who was part of them, kill them. He says to them, do not let any escape, said Elijah. And they began to put them through the sword. You know what type of that was? Type of the Antichrist. Listen, in Genesis chapter 4, in Cain, we see the Antichrist in a bodily flesh, my brother and sister, because Cain was of the evil one, the Bible says. How was Cain of the evil one? It's hard to say. But I was listening to this man who was saying, look, when Cain was born, he said, she, and I believe it was in the Hebrew, he was born of the vine, but she did not call Cain son. She called Abel son, but she did not call Cain son. And he said, that's an indication she knew that Abel was not from God. It was divine, like saying he was born of the devil. How did that came about? Who knows? My brother and sister, okay? And he started explaining because he's saying, you can see this more in the Hebrew than in our English Bible translation. And that's why the Jewish people have translated their own English Bible from Hebrew, because in the King James, you cannot see that well. Because in the King James said that Abel, God had granted her, she says, a child. But it's the original word is divine. And when you put in there God, it gets you like, it gets you thinking, why do we see, okay, let me go there to will explain it to you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. It says, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten this man from the Lord, Adonai. Okay, Adonai is the word. Okay, Adonai. She conceived and bore Cain, and I gotten this from Adonai. Then she again bore his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And then it tells you the story of what came about. But the dislike of God toward Cain, the delight, see, God's revealed the mystery to us. God revealed who we are, who is who. And the dislike of God toward Cain indicated that Cain was not his. You know, it's like you got two children in front of you, two child, and God, a child, is saying, I dislike Cain. And if you're there, and you say, but God, you're loving, you're caring, how are you going to reject this child? Look, it's just a child, what, five years old, and you dislike him already? How can you dislike a child? And people think that people are so evil when they say, I dislike this child. And this is the case here with Cain. Cain is a child, but he is dislike of God. Disapprove. Dislike. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. And unto Cain and his offering had no respect. Cain was wrath. Okay? That no respect is dislike. Cain was a child, and God disliked him. It didn't mean that God did not love, because God loved his enemy. Love thy enemy as I love thyself, he says. My brother and sister. But dislike is, and God knew who he was of evil. And that's the part that humanity has a problem with Cain. Oh, he was a child of Adam, like Abel. But he was not. The revelation comes later that he's of the evil one. Now, we don't need to understand. See, the thing is with us, we want to get into the point, well, I want to know if she was with the devil. And if she was, that was her problem. But God is revealing to us the situation here. My brother and sister, that's what God is revealing to us. He was not of God. Abel was of God. And God did not reject the Abel. He received Abel immediately, but he rejected Cain. He will not receive him. It's like receiving of the devil back into heaven. So Cain is a antichrist in the flesh. The John said that he was born, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. So really, hallelujah. Little children, John 2:18. In the last time, in the last day, ye have heard of Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists. Whereby we know this is the last time, my brother and sister. And then he just says, but well, who is a liar? But he that denies Jesus Christ is the Antichrist, who denied the Father and the Son. So such a thing was Cain. He will deny God, the Father and the Son. My brother and sister. Such a thing was Cain. And every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Such a spirit is the Antichrist. Whereby ye have heard that he shall come, even now already in the world. For many deceivers had entered into the world to confess now that Jesus had come into the flesh, a deceiver and an antichrist. But many antichrists, John said we had, came when he came into the flesh, because the antichrist coming into the flesh, it's the first type of the antichrist. And then we go down to his generations. We go to the times of Noah. Okay, there were antichrists in the times of Noah. There is antichrist in the times of Lot. Then the Pharaoh and the flesh are also type of the Antichrist, my brother and sister. And there are people that came down, even king that became king in Israel were Antichrist, because the Bible says, they did what was evil in the eyes of God. because there were kings that people elected, like King Saul. King Saul was a type of the Antichrist. He was a type of the Antichrist. There was nothing that God kept from Saul that he gave more to David. From the beginning, God was there for Saul. He even prophesied. God showed so much mercy on King Saul, and he always rejected God and his ways. My brother and sister, the same thing with Judah. That the Lord kept anything from Judah that he gave to his other disciple. Judah was another type of the Antichrist. He sat at the table for Jesus. He prayed for all 12. He made all 12 apostles. And he had plenty of mercy on Judah. And the first chance Judah get to sell the Lord for a few coins, he takes it like taking a bull by the horn. It's mine, my brother and sisters. He cannot wait for the opportunity to make money on this situation. And he went for it. That's the attitude of the Antichrist. What do you think the Antichrist is going to do when he comes into office? Make as much money as he wants. One thing the Lord showed me years ago, took me a few times to show me this, to help me understand as a new believer. Because many things I didn't understand. The Lord has to walk with me like a baby and begin to show me the things his word says. He took me into the spirit and took me to places where Satan has trillions and trillions of diamonds, gold, silver accumulated. And he does this from humanity. He'll have his own people working for him. He'll have ways to get money out of the taxpayer. And he'll accumulate diamonds and gold. And you say, if he had already hundreds and thousands of trillions of diamonds and gold, what is he accumulating it for? For nothing, for evil. Just so he can steal from people. Haven't he stolen enough? The devil has been a thief and a robber from the beginning. My brother, and a liar from the beginning. The thief come to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil has been stealing since the garden. In the garden, he stole from Adam and Eve the opportunity of being with God forever. He stole from Adam and Eve the opportunity of eating out of the tree of life. Because at this moment, they're naked. And they have the opportunity out of this, eating out of the tree of life, the fruit out of the tree of life, that where they can live forever. And the devil, seeing what they had, envied them, and was looking for an opportunity to steal from them their own eternity, my brother and sister. And not allowing them, having them sin before they can eat from the tree of life. Because the tree of life is a gift from God. Eternal life. It's a gift from God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And when we receive Christ, we receive salvation, a gift. We receive the Holy Spirit, a gift. We are saved by grace. But the devil knows that if he can try to stop some of us from being ready to going home in the rapture, the pasture, he can have a great chance from stealing your eternal life like he did with Adam and Eve, my brother and sister. Because people can stay behind, angry at God, mad at God, and blaspheme God all the day in the great tribulation. He can have a chance to torment the living daylight out of them and have them blaspheme God, blaspheme the Holy Spirit, which he knows is the unpardoned sin. He knows this. But he wants to have a chance to keep some lukewarm believer in the great tribulation, torment them. And have them blaspheme the Holy Spirit. My brothers, it's what he wants. He wants that chance, that opportunity. If you're looking for the Lord to go home in the rapture of the pasture, the devil can see he's losing that opportunity. I'm trying to keep you with him in the lake of fire, in hell and in the lake of fire. He wants to take advantage of every chance, of every opportunity. That's why we need to take the chance to pray, the chance to repent, every chance. Every opportunity God gives us, my brother and sister, because this is life and death. This is not a game. That's why I'm surprised with the people my brother and sister, that should be getting ready, that are not, that are taking it lightly, my brother and sister. Let's go to Isaiah 2. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to show you the plan of God for our lives in Isaiah 2, my brother and sister. Isaiah 2 says, the word of the Lord, I believe this is the Amplified. The word of the Lord, Isaiah, the son of Amos, so concerning Judah and Jerusalem. So you understand that God has a plan for Jerusalem, Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last day, end of days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountain. God is going to establish a house in the mountain, my brother and sister, at Jerusalem. That's the Messiah plan there, with humanity, with Israel. Anyone can come, just see. So on top of the mountain, it says, and it shall be exalted about the hills. In that place, in that house that God's going to establish on top of the mountain, he's going to establish himself on top of the mountain. Okay? My brother and sister. And he'll be exalted about the hills. Now, in other words, people are going to come and worship him there. Awesome. I love it. Okay? And all the nations shall flow to it. The traffic. I saw this in the millennium. I don't remember reading this in Isaiah, but I saw this with my own eyes in the millennium, that there was a flow, a traffic, a buses of people from all over the earth. And that was in the new millennium, heading to Jerusalem, my brother and sister. People were excited that they were going there. Thank you, Lord, for that. It says, and all the nations shall flow to it, a flow. So many people just going there. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. Hallelujah. For what purpose? What is the purpose of people heading there? It's in Isaiah 2, the purpose. 3. Let me show you the purpose, why there's so many people heading there all the time. He will teach us of his ways. You see that the way of God are so important, my brother and sister, that the Lord Jesus will never fail to teach humanity the Lord's way, God's ways, because there's only one way to God, and Jesus is the way. And he needs to teach us about himself, about being able to go to God, being able to go to Father, knowing the way, understanding God. I was meditating on this word. When God says through the prophet, my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You know that in the Bible, the word perish has to do with people going to hell. So God is saying, my people go to hell for lack of knowledge. Okay? It's not the word of God that anyone will perish. Very clear in his word. But God say, my people go to hell for lack of knowledge. And knowledge is him, his word, in our lives, in our hearts, written in our mind. My brother and sister, that we will not lack our understanding of God, of Jesus, of Messiah, who he is for us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. All that knowledge needs to be in our heart, in our life, written by the finger of God, by the Spirit of God. My brother and sister, daily communion with him. Again, my people go to hell for lack of knowledge, he says. So he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. In other words, you want to walk in the way of God, in the path of God? You need to learn of him, because only the Lord can teach us his way, because he is the way. No one can understand how to get to God like Christ. That's why before Christ, no one can come to paradise and be with God, my brother and sister. They all had to wait in Abraham's bosom from the beginning. So was Adam, as everybody else asked to wait in Abraham's bosom until Messiah will come to the cross and make a way for everyone to get there. It was shown to Jacob in a dream, a ladder from earth to heaven, and which angel will come down and descend. Meaning Messiah is the only way, was shown to Jacob. Jesus was the only way. That's why when Messiah appeared to Jacob in the night, it was noontime, my brother and sisters, and immediately Jacob got hold of him and said, "Thou will not go until thou will bless me." Hallelujah. And Jacob wrestled with God all night long. And the angel of the Lord turned to Jacob and said, "Don't you know that I can kill you?" Hallelujah, my God. "Don't you know that I can kill you?" And that's where he got wounded. My brother and sister, Jacob got wounded out of it. Hallelujah. But the Lord blessed him. He said, "What is your name, Jacob? Your name shall be Israel." Thank you, Lord. He held on to his blessing. This is what is going to take the kingdom of heaven, suffer violence, and only the violent will take it. You need to understand. You got to get a hold of this faith. Hallelujah. Of this word, which is more valuable than gold and diamond. Thank you, Jesus. This is eternity we're talking about. This is about spending eternity with Father, with God Almighty, in heaven and his goodness. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Lord. My God, my Lord. We will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. But we out of him will go forth the Lord. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations. First time, he didn't come to judge. But in this time, second coming, he'll be there saying, "You are condemned." Hallelujah. That's it. You are going to hell. You are going to the lake of fire. You will not escape my judgment. He's coming to judge the nations. Here's the other part. And he shall rebuke the people. Stop it. Stop it. You stop it. You stop it. Nonsense, not anymore. I will not tolerate that anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Listen, listen what he's going to tell them to do. This is what they need to do. Hallelujah. He will rebuke the people. And they should be, hallelujah, they should beat their sword into plowshare and their spear into pruning hook. Hallelujah. You stop it. Go ahead. Take your sword and make it into a hook for, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Make it into a hook, a pruning hook. Hallelujah. You can prune your plant. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Go prune your apple, your pears. Go prune them. Make it onto a hook that you can prune that. And you, take your sword and make it into a plowshare. Go work the land. Hallelujah. And this is what he's going to do. Nations shall not lift a sword against a nation. Neither shall the long word anymore. Stop it. No more fighting. I don't want to see you fighting. No more fighting. You stop this nonsense. I want you now to learn of my Father. No more word, he says. He's going to rebuke the nations. He's going to discipline to learn discipline. My brother and sister, Messiah is doing this. He's coming as a judge to judge the nation. He wants discipline in his house. He wants people to stop this fighting, this argument, this disagreement that the nations are having. Oh, I don't like you. Oh, I don't like you. No, that nonsense is not going to go with Messiah. He's putting an end to that. He's rebuking them, the Bible says. Stop the nonsense. Hallelujah. He's the judge. And at that very moment, they don't listen. They get judged. And they get removed. No more nonsense, my brother and sister. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be sweet again. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is going to rebuke them himself. Hallelujah. He's bringing his rebuke upon the nation. For out of Zion shall go forth the Lord, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nation and shall rebuke many people. And they should be, Hallelujah. Their sword into plowshare. Beat it. They're going to beat it. They're going to form it into that. Their spear into hook. Nation shall not lift a sword against the nation. Neither shall they learn word anymore. In all house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. It's going to be beautiful. I seen it. I've been there. I have rejoiced there. I tell you, Messiah, don't allow nonsense anymore. No more nonsense. No more disagreement. Oh, I don't like you. I don't like you. Go back to your country. Do this. None of that nonsense is going to be over. My brother and sister, no more fighting. No more this is my land. No, whom the Lord gives it to belongs to that person. That's it. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, nonsense are practically over. Hallelujah. Bribe will be taken out. 7-year great tribulation. Messiah, return of the end, put an end to all this, put this through fire, bring us to our millennium kingdom reign, and we'll begin a reign of 1,000 years with Christ. This earth, this heaven will be no more. It's passed away. I love the beauty of passing away, because it's like dumping something in the garbage. My brother and sister, that dumping this earth into the garbage, my brother and sister, will be no more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love the part that it will not even come to memory. Hallelujah. So beautiful that people will not remember. Even if they try to remember, hallelujah, they won't remember. They won't remember what they went through in this life, the headaches, the pain, the suffering. Why would God want them to remember that? Thank you, Lord. Look what he says. John, I saw a new heaven, a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth pass away. Oh, I love it. 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 I tell you, I love it. No more. This dirty, hallelujah, contaminated air, contaminated water, contaminated food is about to go into history. Our sea is contaminated. Our air is polluted. Our water is contaminated. Everything that we know here is contamination, sin, and evil. It's all about to go into history. It's all about to being forgotten, my brother and sister. It's beautiful what God has planned for us, for them that love him, the Bible says. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Listen, I saw new heaven and new earth. The first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of God, out of heaven, prepare a bride adorned for her husband. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be beautiful. My brother and sister, hallelujah. I say this. For behold, I create a new heaven and the earth. The former shall not be remembered, nor come to mind. What do you remember about your past life? And you're scratching your head. No, I don't remember. I don't remember. I just remember that I had served the Lord, given my life to him, committed myself to him, and that's it, nothing else. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. I'm telling you, this is what we're about to come in into. All this evil earth and contamination is about to be gone. Gone. Disappear, pass away, no more. A trash can. This earth is about to be a trash can. And even worse, the nuclear weapons are going to go off here during the Great Tribulation. It's going to make this place like a hell. Unlivable. It will not sustain life anymore. My brother and sister, no clean water anywhere. No sea water clean, nothing. It's all complete polluted. It will kill you to be alive in the Great Tribulation. Just to be alive, it will kill you. And I know this because the Lord has taken me there. And because the people, look at the mercy of God, people cannot die during the 7-year Great Tribulation. I saw people holding their stomach in pain, and I heard them say, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. Just breathing, it hurts. Just living, it hurts. The water they drink, muddy, nuclear waste in it, radiation. And just to try to put some liquid into their stomach, they drink it, and it hurts. It hurts. And they go on all day long, it hurts. It hurts, holding their stomach in pain. My brother and sister, I learned of some people. I learned of this man, and it was so many other people, had not eaten for over a year in the Great Tribulation. I didn't think someone can go on over a year in hell. Okay, that's normal in hell. In hell, that's normal. But I didn't know that in the Great Tribulation, someone can go on for years without eating. Years. I saw it. This man told me so. A grown man in his 50, crying like a child, a strong big man, telling me he had not eaten, drank anything in more than a year. And I can see his stomach. He looks like he was a large man. I can see his skin hanging, dry, like it was all dry, bone and skin, because a lot of people in America are heavyweight or overweight and going into the Great Tribulation 300-400 pounds and then spending years without eating. You lose all that weight because in the beginning, the first 2 years of the Great Tribulation, people go crazy eating everything. I mean, because there are so many people turning into werewolf and all that. A lot of people are hiding. They are allowing the werewolf and the beast to eat all the deers, all the dogs, the any cats, birds. It gets to the point where there is not a single life by the middle of the Great Tribulation. And then there are some people alive. Then you got the parents there, the mother that are having children, that at the day of birth, they're eating their own child to stay alive. When I saw that, oh, my Lord, my God. Oh, my Lord, my God. Is it better never to be born at this time? Oh, my Lord, my God. When I saw that husband with a machete after his wife was on her bed having her baby, and he was getting ready with the machete, at the moment that I arrived there, the Lord brings me there. You know, he was sharpening his knife. He had two knives in his hand. One was like a machete. The other one was like a larger knife. He was sharpening them against each other and sharpening them against each other. We used to do that back in the island a lot. And I'm like, well, and my first thinking is he probably had turkey, a chicken, or something, a wild turkey or a chicken. I didn't realize that by this time there was no meat at all on the earth. I mean, you can look for wild turkey or anything in the United States. You could not find it for a mile. You don't want to walk a mile without water and food because then you got to throw yourself on the floor and breathe as you can. This is basically the life these people have. And he's crying. And I heard him say, oh, no, God, I don't want to do this. And I heard the wife say, honey, oh, you're not going to do this to our child, honey. And he was saying back, honey, please don't even mention it. Try to put it off your head. Please try to put it off your head. She just had her baby. The umbilical cord was still attached to the mother because she was so weak, she could not even cut off the umbilical cord. The husband has to go and cut the umbilical cord and grab the baby, my brother and sister. And I can hear the baby crying. And the mother just laying there skinny. The bigger thing that she had on her was the baby being born, my brother and sister. The blood was still on the bed. It was a horrible scene. And my stomach, I began like my stomach, I wanted to throw up because of the whole situation. But God wanted me to watch. Because how else am I going to come here and tell you about it? My brother and sister, you do not want to stay behind. I don't know what you heard about the Great Tribulation. But the Great Tribulation is not like a trip to the Caribbean or anybody else or anywhere else, my brother and sister. It is hell on earth. When someone describes it as that, I say that's a perfect description. It's hell on earth. That's what the Great Tribulation is. Hell on earth, because all the demons from hell comes to the earth anyway. So it is hell on earth. That is walking around. Hell is walking around. The lady hell is walking around. The demon hell of man is walking around. So It's horrible. Okay? And then Apollyon, who is one of the horrible demons I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't think I've even seen Satan how horrible than he is. He's horrible. My brother, he is horrible. I saw him grab my friend in hell by the head with one of his hands and gave him over 100,000 watt over his hand, burning him. He was screaming to the top. My friend who broke his shoe leg in a truck accident is trying to run from Apollyon. Apollyon says to him, you better not run away, try to run away from me, because then I will do you worse. He grabbed him by the head, and out of his fingernail came over 100,000 watt, voltage of watt, burning his head. But he was screaming, because you cannot die in hell. It's just torment, torment, torment. So this man says to me, oh, this is all we have to eat, the Great Tribulations. We have no other choice. I have a nail in a year, so my wife. You know, you can eat leaves. A lot of people think it's all steak and you know, beef and pork and, you know, and bacon and all this. You can eat leaves. Get creative. Plants are still giving out leaves. There's some leaf you can eat. Hey, cow are big, an elephant, and all they eat grass. Eat grass. I guess we're going to have to do a study here and kind of, there are grass you can eat, can really eat. It's edible. Think about it. If animal can eat grass, we can eat grass too. It's not poisonous like some people think. Can go around with the grass's toe and grab a bunch of it and, you know, cut it and, you know, I heard a study. Someone did a study of eating grass is good for you. I thought it was funny. But, you know, that will help people in the Great Tribulation. It looks like we need to educate people, inform people, even on what they can eat. You can eat grass. Grass is good for you. Because there are people staying behind the Great Tribulation. They don't know they can eat grass. They're looking for meat. They're looking for this or that. You don't have Burger King or McDonald's anymore. You're not going to find fast food place anymore. It's going to be terrible, but eat grass like a cow, like an elephant. And if you learn to eat it, I tried some grass. Someone, a brother said to me, Brother Obi, this grass that you can eat, and he sent me some, and I tried it. It was a bit sour, but I tried and I ate some of it. I was taking it. Am I an animal? I'm eating grass now. But you know what? It's kind of helps you to lose weight and things like that. You can look it up on Amazon. You can, you know, brother said, Brother Obi, grass is, you know, there's a grass that is good for you. And send me all the information, all the benefit of it. I'm telling you, some of you, I'm sure you have it. You can share it with people who stand behind the Great Tribulation. People can eat grass. They won't have meat to eat, like cows, chicken, and all that. They'll all be gone. But they can, if they learn to eat grass, those staying behind, it will help them. And grass can be collected. And since they're going to be back anywhere and everywhere, flying everywhere, you can go ahead. Yes, moringa leaf you can eat. And you can collect grass, store it in a bag, or do like they do with animals. Learn to keep grass. People keep them in a barn for the animal for the winter. And guess what? It works. Keeps my life and healthy, my brother and sister. If we learn to apply this to human, you know, you can wash it very well. Maybe you can wash it with vinegar, lemon, whatever flavor, or maybe you can add a flavor to it. That's another thing you can do, my brother and sister. Add a flavor to it. Try to keep some flavor around. And that will help people in the Great Tribulation, my brother and sister. If you can change your diet for those that are staying behind, it will be easier to maneuver the life, to manage the life during those 7 years. Because the Lord's coming back at the end of the 7 years, for sure. The rapture, departure of the bride is about to happen, my brother and my sister. Here's what happened. We were waiting for the rapture in the days to come. And what did I hear? My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Let me play what I heard. And then... Yeah, when I try grass, I was thinking, wow, now I'm eating like animal. I thought it was funny. Hallelujah. But you know what? I try it. It was not what I thought it would taste better. But you know what? It's good for you. Good for your health. So we just, you know, if you don't want to eat someone else, because some people that's been taken to the Great Tribulation have seen other people eating other people. Like in the situation I saw. And that's horrible. You know, carnivorous. The people turn carnivorous. That's a sin also. Not pleasing to the Lord. Okay, let's go back to Isaiah. Okay, my brother and sister. Because what the prophet, what God says here through his prophet is very important. Amen. Isaiah 2:6. For thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they are replenished from the east, are soul sawyer, like the Philistine. They please themselves with children of strangers. Okay, and this is a part of, you know, please themselves with children of stranger. This is the stealing of children that's been going on, that is in the world too. The God knew that what was happening because of the behavior of humanity. Verse 7, their land is also full of silver and gold. Neither is any end of the treasure. Their land is full of horses. Neither any end of the chariot. The land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their hand, which their own finger have made. The lowly men bow down, and great men humble himself. Therefore, forgive them not. Enter into the rock. Hide thee in the dust, for the fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. Look how God wants people to live during the 7-year Great Tribulation, my brother and sister. Okay? You see the people acting wicked. You see the people doing evil. Okay? What do you do? In that case, people that are staying behind. Enter into the rock. Find a cave somewhere to live. Okay? Don't go to the big city. Don't go to any town. Try to stay away from city and town and fight on hidden spots. Where normally people don't go to. See, because the werewolves and beasts are going to go around smelling. They know what the city will be and all that, where there'll be a bunch of people. That's exactly where they're going to, my brother and sister. Enter into the rock, hide thee in the dust. That's another good idea. Somewhere in the dust. Try to make a cave or something where you can hide. They say, hide thee in the dust. That means you can make a place under the dust for yourself. Big enough for you to fall in, for you to be in, and be safe, be protected. Okay? For the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Verse 11, the lofty look man shall be humble, and the haughtiness man shall bow down. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Okay? He's not going, when he returns back to establish his kingdom, people are not going to do what they please. They will have to do the will of the Lord when he is in charge, when he is in control in the new earth. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that's lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Okay? The Lord will bring him low. In other words, you better humble yourself. Better humble yourself or you will be humble. Because the Lord's coming back with his army. And these hasty people, these prideful people, if they're any alive, will have to humble themselves, is what the Lord is saying. He's not going to take any more nonsense from people. Verse 13, if I'm all the seed of the living, and then all the high lifted up upon all the oak of Ashan, and upon all the high mountain, and upon all the hill that are lifted up, every high tower, upon every fortified wall, upon all the ship of Tarsi and upon all the place in sight. All the lofty man shall be bowed down. The haughtiness man shall be made low. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And all the idol shall be utterly abolished, removed, destroyed. No more. Not under the earth and new heaven that he's coming with, that he's making for, that he already made. The millennium is already there. It's not on this earth. It's like on another planet, out of our galaxy, because we cannot see it from here. And it has its own galaxy, its own heaven and new earth, because it said heaven and new earth. I've been there. I have come out of there, coming down here. I know for the fact that we are down here, because one time I'm coming out of eternity, I see the millennium, then I keep coming down to our galaxy, to the earth. The Lord brought me that way, showing me that there's a difference of eternity, millennium, and then earth, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's why when Paul said that our work will be tested through the fire, at one time I was at the end of the earth, in 1,000 years, after the Lord had thrown Satan and all of them into the lake of fire, the Lord was putting us through the fire, our works. And a lot of people worked, including some of mine, was being melted in the fire. We make it through the other side, and from there we can go to eternity, my brother and sister. But no one is going to eternity without the work, their life being put through fire. The Lord is going to put each and one of us through the fire, okay? And whatever our work is, if it's not made in God for God, will melt away. That's why we're here to give him glory. We're here to serve him. He's going to give us the petition of our heart. He's going to bless us abundantly. We will have everything he promised us because he is faithful who made the promise. But he wants us to be obedient and understand that his will be done and not ours, my brother and sister. And he's getting us there. Verse 19. And they should go into the hole of the rock, into the cave of the earth, for the fear of the Lord and for his glory of his majesty, when he arises, shake terribly the earth. And this is the time when God is arising to shake terribly during the great tribulation. He's going to shake the earth violently. I saw it. I was in New Jersey one time during the great tribulation, and the stay was, everything was gone, but the land, the wind, I was looking to New York City, the devastation all over the United States, the eastern part, everywhere. It is just incredible, my brother and sister. Everything God says in his word, he's going to do. He is going to do, my brother and sister, because he is faithful. Yes, Lord says yes. He is faithful. He's going to fulfill his word. Amen. They should go into the hole of the rock, it says, and into the cave of the earth, for the fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. He's going to shake it, but it's going to be terribly. Going to be terribly, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. His power has no end. Verse 20. And in that day a man shall cast away his idol of silver, his idols of gold, which he made one for himself to worship, to the mole and to the bats. Okay? It's not going to work. Whatever people are thinking, they've been doing here for years. When the great tribulation comes, that's going to be the great cleansing, I say. Great cleansing on the earth. That's what people have to decide, whether they're going to serve God yet or not, my brother and sister. Now the decision is to be going home in the rapture. If people don't get ready for going home, my brother and sister, it's going to be incredible. First said, I played her audio years ago here in the Lord's Hour, that the Lord says to her, my daughter, a time will come when I will take my children home and they will celebrate Christmas in heaven. I have always had this in the back of my mind. I have told the people here, to family, share with people. You know, I really think that what the Lord told the sister years ago, that there will come a day that in Christmas we will go celebrate Christmas in hell. and heaven, I'm sorry, heaven. Thank you, Lord. This time, while I was being raptured, I looked on the day, and the day was to me 25 to the 26th. We know that the 25th day that I know officially is Christmas, December, my brother and sister. And since the Lord said to her years ago that when we will come home, we will be coming home in December. Now, we will celebrate December in heaven, is what the Lord said. He didn't say we were coming home in December. I got to make this clear. No misinterpretation. No man knows the day and hour. No man knows the day and hour. Not the angel, not the Lord. I got to make that clear. Please understand. It's just what the Lord says to her, that year we will come to celebrate December in heaven. Okay? And as I was coming to heaven really quick. I looked, and I saw 25, 26. And then I'm thinking, thinking what the month will be when I came back. What month it will be? And the only day I know 25, 26 is December. But I'm not saying the rapture is in December neither. I'm just saying that when I looked, I saw 25 to 26. And I was saying to God, who was rapturing me, I knew it. I knew it. I knew. God was like laughing at me, like smiling, like I can feel his smile because I would say I knew it. You know, he says to me, "I told you, you were coming home." He didn't say soon. I love it because he didn't use the word soon. Okay, he says to me, I told you you were coming home. He reminded me. Because when he took me last week to labor and delivery, and the woman was having this child, it was a confirmation of the Supreme Court 9 months, 0 time. And this time, as he's taking me home, God says to me, I told you you were coming home, he says. And I was going home after the sound of the shofar, the trumpet. People, the church on the earth, brothers and sisters, have heard the sound very loud. I took off so fast that the sound sounded dim to me, like below. Because immediately I could see down. I can see you're getting really small. Because I was flying home so fast, I was flying home so fast, that the earth was getting small really quick. It's like being in a rocket, but I was flying faster than a rocket. But it was like being in a rocket leaving the earth, and you're looking down through the window, and as you go up, the earth is getting smaller, my brother and sister. Okay? The earth was getting smaller, but I was flying up in my glorified body. I was flying up in my glorified body. I knew because I don't remember flying up in this body necessarily. The way, because I was going like Superman up, which reminded me of Jesus, my brother and sisters. Please don't misunderstand. This is not the purpose, okay, to misunderstand what I'm saying. If you have any question, I can try to make it clear, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. But it's what God allowed me to experience that to me was very powerful, my brother and sister. And I thank the Lord because every experience changes our life, teaches us even more, my brother and sister. Now, Act 1:11, okay, one thing. While they look steadfastly toward heaven. No, I got it. Wait, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him up on sight. Now, notice that it doesn't say he took off. He took off. Like, I was going home, flying home in the rapture day to come. But it was God bringing me home. You see what I'm saying? But you feel like you see? So when you see what happened with Jesus, you know, he's in control. He's God. Jesus is God. No doubt about that. He's God. But it says that when he was spoken these things, while he beheld, they beheld. They were looking at him, looking at Jesus. Their eye was fixed on him. He was taken up. And a cloud received him high. Now, who took him up? And then you say, Father, God. But Jesus is God. He could fly home, in another word. But see, God is giving us the experience here that we are going to be taken up like Christ. He wants us to believe, to know that God is able. God has the power to take us, to bring us home. And that's why he's using his own son, giving us the experience through his son. And like how he did with Jesus, while the disciples were looking at him, he was taken up. He was taken up, my brother and sister. And verse 10, while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven as he went up. This is like looking up one of SpaceX, Elon Musk rocket going home, going to space, where everyone is looking, taking photos of him. You know, Jesus is there. Father is taking him slowly up. The cloud, remember that the clouds are above. Think about it. The clouds are above. Father's taking the Lord slowly home, up. But not too slowly, because then you see the cloud coming. Even the cloud are under his control. Isn't that incredible? Thank you, Lord. Behold, as he was up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. They did not see where these men came from. But that the Bible says two men. They were actually two angels. But the Bible describes them as men, because they're son of God as we are. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. So two men stood by them in white apparel. But the one writing the story of what happened is Luke the apostle, one of the apostles writing, which they attributed to Luke. He's writing what happened, and the first thing he writes was two men, when they were actually two angels. Now, that he made a mistake by saying there were two men when they were actually two angels, he didn't make a mistake. He is just writing the event of what's happening. And when you're writing, your focus on writing was what being told to you, or what you saw, what you experienced, an example. And he's writing this, and he says, two men. You know, no one went back to Luke and said, hey, you know, I got your writing. I got your book, the book of Acts. Look, I got something here that I disagree with you. You know, it was two angels that came to us that day, but I saw that in your writing you said two men. Is there any way you can fix that? No, there was not going back to fix it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, who also said, ye men of Galilee, why standest ye gazing up into heaven? Why are you looking up? Thank you, Lord. They're getting the most powerful event in their life that they ever had from God. Okay? And I said two men because remember Mary Magdalene goes in the morning to the tomb, see a gardener there. And it's asking the gardener, you know, where have you put my Lord's body? But the gardener is the Lord, God Almighty, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. So he also says, ye men of Galilee, why standing ye gazing up into heaven? Hallelujah. I said, well, yeah. Oh, to you, angel, this is okay in heaven. You see this every day, but us here on earth, we don't see much of this. This is an amazing event that we're looking at here. Thank you, Lord. But, you know, the understanding is, and here's how they're going to explain it to them. And the explanation has to do is, my brother and sister, that his going and his coming is the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. You're going to have a same experience of him coming back to you as you saw him going back home again. And this needs to be clear to us, the church, that God has the power. If he raised Jesus to heaven, he's going to raise us in the days to come. It's close. It is close. My brother and my sister, I was saying to God in my rapture, because I saw the number 25 and 26, the month, the day, not the month, the day. No man knows the day is an hour. And I was saying to God, I knew it. Now, I was saying that it's not that I know the rapture day, none of that. We are looking to the feast days. You know, Passover is coming up. We got the red moon, full moon, April 8th. We're looking to certain events that are coming up. No man knows the day and hour. We know the rapture will be in the day and hour. We don't know. But to me, being raptured and looking at the 25, 26, for some coincidence, Father allowed me to look to it. And I was telling God I knew it. Yeah, and God did not rebuke me or anything. To God, it was a smile. My brother insisted, I don't know the day and hour. Please don't think I know. Okay? He also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven. And look the word he used, taking up. Okay? Who's taking up? Taking up, God is taking him up from you into heaven. He shall also come in a like manner as you have seen him go to heaven. My brother and sister, in the same manner as you see him go to heaven. So, you know, he was going to heaven because he has the power to go to heaven and come down again and do all this. And in that similar way, the church is going home. The rapture of the pastor, the bride of Christ, is going to happen in that like manner. That's why we can use this word here of Acts 1:11 and say, look, the Lord went up this way in front of everyone. We're going up the same way in front of everyone. People will see the rapture happening. My brother insisted. The fact that people will be very sad, very broken. Now, there are people, as the Lord has shown me, that will look for the babies, mother that will look for the babies and not find them, and go crazy looking everywhere thinking that someone has stolen the child. I remember mother screaming, top of the lung, looking for the babies, thinking that this baby was stolen. My brother and sister, that event is about to come. Okay, we are very close. We are in 0 hour to be in rapture. 0 hour. The woman that Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, okay, that sudden destruction will come on them as a travail upon a woman with a child. Let me read the whole verse. And where they are staying peace and safety, sudden destruction shall come upon them as a travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. Why is this woman travailing? Because she's having a baby. The rapture is like a woman having a baby. That's why Father gave it to me this way. Took me to show me in that holy place. This woman is in labor and delivery, having a baby, which is us going home. When a mother is 9 months due, it's not done due time, that baby must be born, my brother and sister. We know that. And so we have no more time left, okay? We have no time left for the rapture to happen. Now, some people have said, what about this event, that event? Listen, God can do anything and do it quickly. When he showed me the tsunami coming, it happened in the morning. People are getting ready to go to work, and the tsunami will come in their way and just took them, kill them. A man the other day put up a video on YouTube, saw 235 or 237 million will die in the next judgment that is about to come in the U.S. That is a large number. Then the Lord took me out north, I remember in the spirit, and the people that were left after the destruction of the tsunami, they were taking over these mansions that people left behind and say that this is what God said in his word, that the world of the wicked will be given to the righteous. I was telling my wife, I don't know if I want to take home in that way, in that form. I believe whatever God's going to give to us, he'll give it to us. I don't think that my brother and sister will be taking anyone homes. I don't feel that that's a righteous way to inherit something unless it comes from your family, my brother and sister. But I could be wrong about it. I'm sorry. It's just the way I feel about it, my brother and sister. And I don't want to inherit anything in that way, shape, or form. Hallelujah. I believe that God has to give to us, my brother and sister. Isaiah 66:22, for us, the new heaven and new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord. Such your seed and your name shall remain. God can make things remain, endure, last. And what he's given us, what he's doing with us, will last. Because he is from eternity to eternity. He is faithful. And he's the one making the promise. And he's telling us that I will make it. It shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain. Your children, your family, us. He promising that we will remain. Shall remain before him, my brother and sister. His eternal promise to us are wonderful. And we should be looking forward to them. Thank you, Lord, because he is faithful. He is faithful, my brother and sister. Faithful is him that sit upon the throne. Thank you, Lord. But I like the part that he says in Isaiah that he's going to rebuke the people. Isaiah 4. It should judge among the nations. I shall rebuke many people. They should beat their sword into the plowshare, and the spear into pruning hook. Nations should not lift sword against nation, neither they shall learn word anymore. That's it. That's the end. He's going to rebuke them. Stop it. No more fighting. Stop your nonsense. No more division. He's going to establish everything where it's supposed to be. And this is what we should be looking forward. He's going to establish his throne in the mountain of Jerusalem. In Israel, he says, my brother and sister. And from there, he's going to begin to rebuke the nations. And rebuke. But who's going to make it during those 7 years unless they are willing to be beheaded? My brother and sister, this mark of the beast business, this ship, this RFID, okay, we need to make clear the consequence of those that will take it. Because people are taking this lightly. And as the Lord showed me this past few days, I saw the entire United States, the school system, the public school system, are lining up in a line to be in ship in the right hand. Because Congress and Senate and everybody else was telling them the benefit of having this ship in the right hand, the medical information will be secure, the banking information will be secure, the children will be tracked anywhere. They won't be able to be stolen from school or anything. And people were loving the idea. Oh, they thought it was the greatest thing, my brothers and sisters, to be able to have it. But there are consequences. First of all, I gave them Matthew 5:30. Okay? In Matthew 5:30, what's that Jesus say? Okay? If thy right hand causes thee to fall, off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members shall perish, and now that the whole body shall be cast into hell. Remember that word perish I told you? That the word perish when it's used in the Bible is in relationship to going to hell, my brother and sister. That is a fact of the word of God. Amen. So Revelation 14:9. Okay, let me go there. Thank you, Lord. It says, in the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, this angel is sent by God in the great tribulation. And he's making this clear. He wants John to write down what the angel is saying. God wants him, write it down, John, write it down, write it down. People need to get this. They need to hear. Let them who have an ear hear what the Lord has to say. Third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or his right hand, the same shall drink the wine out of the wrath of God, which is poured upon unmixed unto the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Listen, listen. I saw millions of people aligning, happy with a smile, to take a chip, RFID chip, mark of the beast, God let me know. Dangerous chip, dangerous as hell. Children in public school, adult for work and anybody else, government employees, everyone. Obama's coming back into office, and I believe it's a coming up election. They're not going to remove Biden out of office. I'm telling you, in this past Tuesday, Great Tuesday 9, okay, Super Tuesday they call them, some state, Biden's won in a lot of them, 92% favor Biden's, 80-something favor Trump, my brothers and sisters. And they're Super Tuesday. Look it up yourself. Go ahead. Go play it. Fox News has it online. Go and watch the video and see if I'm right. Go ahead. Go see it. I was showing it to my wife. Look, honey. Look. Biden, some state, 92%. Obama, as the Lord showed me, Father showed me, the Lord showed me, is coming back into office. Father says, I will allow him to do this. My brother and sister, he's coming back. Obama is coming back into office. And this is one of the laws they're going to pass. This is going to be one of a fresh law that a lot of people will see the benefit, because so many children are being stolen, and they knew why they allowed this to be happening. For the purpose of bringing this new law, everyone in the United States must be chipped. That's the new law that is coming up. Everyone in the United States must be chipped. And I knew this as I was standing there looking at them, watching the news and all that, that the Antichrist know that many escaped by sea. But as Father showed me, those that escaped by sea, okay, that did not take by sea, this time the Antichrist wants to make sure they will not escape the chip in the right hand. And he will persecute them. He will chase them in the highway. American people born and raised here will be chased to be injected with a chip in the right hand. This is life and death. What is coming? Please hear. Please pray. Please seek the Lord. Life and death, my brothers and sisters, it's in the tongue. And they will pronounce it and say it on television. Senate will vote on it. Congress will vote on it in favor of this chip. It will pass through with great percentage. Okay? And it will be implemented. And everyone must get it. Everyone. Every citizen in the United States might get it. It will go around the world everywhere. It will be the same like in the United States. Remember that God has said this is Babylon the Great. So the first system that will implement this law is the United States in the months to come, days to come. There's an election around the corner. By November, we'll know who wins, my brothers and sisters. We already seen the Super Tuesday favoring Biden's. Kamala Harris and Obama are laughing at everyone while his building is being made in Washington, D.C. Oh, my Lord, my God, what is coming? And it's coming quickly. Quickly. The decision has to be now for Jesus. It has to be now. Go into the cliff of the rock, I said 121, and to the top of the rocks, for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he rises to take terribly the earth. See ye from men who bred his nostril, for what is the account of he? My Lord, my God. God said this of the Antichrist, Ezekiel 29:4, I will put a hook on your jaw. I will make The fish of your river stick to your scale. I will pull you off from the midst of your rivers, and all the fish of your river will stick to your scale. Ezekiel 38:4. I will turn you around and put a hook on your jaw. I will bring you out and all your army, horses and horsemen, and all them manifoldly, clothed in full armor, great horses with buckler, and shield large, and all of them wielding sword. Now, some people have said that this is Russia, and I don't disagree with them, my brother and sister. But the Antichrist, as I was reading in Daniel, some when I saw in Daniel, I see the lion, leopard, and I see the bear. But I see the bear, I believe, is where lion wins, where eagle wins. I see the Antichrist and the bear. Now, a few months ago, when I wanted to know more about this, the Lord allowed me to hear when the Antichrist, Mahdi Choiman, said to President Putin, do what you say you will do, or what you promise you will do, either one. He told him to do. The Antichrist, the Mahdi, the Choiman, is telling President Putin to go ahead, do what he said he was going to do. My brother and sister, he's going to make a move very soon. Now, some people think that NATO is going to attack Russia. I don't say no, but I'm going to tell you what God showed me, what the Lord showed me. I was standing on the shore here of the United States in the days to come. When Russia attacked the United States, I saw when President Putin had the great support of China, President Xi Jinping, great support of the President of Korea and Iran. Great support. That means military support everywhere. My brother and sister, if you will be fishing on the day Russia, China, and all these countries will attack the U.S., whenever you truck your line to fish near the coast of the United States, it may be caught by a submarine. There will be hundreds and maybe millions of submarines surrounding the United States on that day. My brother and sister, like we never seen before in this land. But as I was standing there, I saw when President Putin told the leader of Germany, you promised me you have joined us. Prove yourself to us now and attack this certain part of the United States. I believe the part that given Germany to attack was this place in Vegas where they have all these weapons. And Germany knows it well and had told President Putin about all this. And President Putin was telling him as he was guiding all these nations, I want you to attack them there. Prove to us that you really are our partner. Earn your partnership. When, back in 2021, when Russia was invading Ukraine, President Putin sent a message to NATO, the country of NATO, and said, join us. I said this here on the Lord Tower. It's on the archive. Join us or perish, he says to them. Join us or perish. There was one general in Germany that has to come down because he was so fearful because they've been starting Russia for many years. He knows what Russia has, and he doesn't dare to want to go against Russia. And the United States made Germany have him retire. But again, the entire government of Germany do not want to go against Russia. Okay? They will join Russia if they have already done so. I believe in my own personal opinion that they already have joined Russia as Turkey has. Okay? Turkey has already joined Russia. And I believe Germany has already joined Russia. And I believe even France are making noises, but they're very scared. And they know they can be wiped out any days. I believe there are several nations out of the NATO nations that have joined Russia already and secretly are afraid to say it to the United States. But I believe they already have. They already made the commitment, my brother and sister. And surprises are coming. Because they're getting ready to word up in NATO. Okay? And a lot of people, oh, they're going to attack Russia. Watch and see the surprise. Surprises are coming. And a lot of people don't like surprise. Because the outcome of the surprise is what's going to astonish people. They were our friends. We send them support for years. They got weapons because we send them money. It's going to be a lot of that on the news. But it's coming. It's just coming. This is why our trust is in the Lord and the maker of heaven and earth, my brother and sister. Because the things that are going to be unfolding in the days to come will shock people. People will be drinking water and choke on their own water. What? No way. But, you know, this is what the world is heading. God has been warning us, my brother and sister. That's why go into the book of Daniel. We've done that and explain it. And if we need to go back again, I don't think it's time to go back in there anymore. But the fact of the matter is that God told us there what will be the outcome, the end of it. And God cannot lie. You know, my thing is, if I read in the word what God says, and then I hear the news contradicting what God says, I totally disagree with the news. I unfriend Fox News the other day. I done it like twice already. I like to be informed with the news. But when I hear garbage coming out of them, I go and unfriend them right away. No way. I want to hear news. I want to hear them giving out the news, not, you know, contradicting the word of God. Because that's what a lot of the news is. It's bad. It's all bad news, my brother and sister. The truest in the word of God. And the word of God says what's going to happen. Okay? Ezekiel told us there what will be the outcome. So Revelation 14:11 says, "And the smoke of their torment is enough forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, and worship the beast and the image, whosoever received the mark in his name." What? This is the outcome of this RFID in the right hand. Okay? And why are so many people lining up who knew the Bible? I don't get it. Someone explain it to me. Why are there millions of people across our nation who knows the Bible, are Christian nations, who God told them in Revelation 13 about this mark of the beast, that you won't be able to buy or sell, lining the children, lining up, okay, my brother and sister. It's terrible. It's terrible. The three young ladies I saw in hell that went down through the by scene. I was telling my wife knows them very well. One of them was her best friend. They grew up together. They went to grammar school and high school together. My brother and sister, for years, they went and listened to my preaching and disagreed with me. I went and brought them the word. I will pray. I will fast. And I will bring to the church the word. And for years they sat there and disagreed with what I was teaching, my brother and sister. The day back in 92, when I was sitting in class, end of the year, and that preacher brought that message about the virus that they will release in the future, and the evil vaccine that will come after, I was shaking. I was new in the church. My leg was shaking in class. I could not stop shaking. I went back to my apartment that night. I was still shaking. I think even the next day I was shaking. I felt that God was speaking to me directly to my heart, directly to my life, that when the virus will come, that when the vaccine will come, I'm supposed to say no. No. I heard the brother when he says that when this will come, we were not supposed to take it. He even believed that there will be Christians, people, that will take it by, he says. I don't know, because they got God's word. You know, maybe not another Christian will take it. Guess what? He was mostly wrong. He was right where a few Christians will not take it. But the majority of Christians have taken the vaccine. The revelation was that these satanic leaders were sitting on this table. God revealed it to these men and these women. one in 88 and the other one in 89. And the word was that in this meeting they were having, they say, we're going to release a virus that will make people to run to get the vaccine, and we'll get them through the vaccine. Because the question was, how are we going to get these people to take the vaccine, someone asked, at the table, as they were sitting. This vaccine is how we're going to control the people, the population. Okay? And I believe they said it will change the DNA and all that. But they said they will control the people and manipulate and have them do whatever we want. It will have everything in it for us to have control of their lives. That's what, thank you, Lord, reminded me, yes. Take control of their lives. Both the sister and them said this. And so someone said, so how are we going to get the whole population, the whole world, to take this vaccine? And then he says, we have a plan for that. We're going to release a virus that we already have, a combination, a virus, that when we release this virus, people will be afraid, and we will offer them the vaccine, and they will take it. They will not refuse it. Sounds like something similar that came out in 2020 that everyone started taking in 2021. My brother and sister, what a coincidence, huh? So specific the meeting was about. 88, God revealed this to the sister and to this brother. And she put it in a writing. The prophecy is in a writing. This brother gave us a copy of the writing. I wish, you know, I felt so tied to the prophecy. I feel my ministry is so tied to the prophecy. I should have kept a copy of the prophecy from that 1988. At least he gave us a copy. He printed many copies and handed one over to each and one of us because he thought the information was very important, my brother and sister. And, you know, so many years have passed. They came after that, the year 2000, you know, 2012. All these years began to come by. And nothing has happened yet. When it comes 2015, my brother and sister, the Lord began to speak to me about this virus that will be all over the world. And I began to preach it in the Spanish program first, not here. I believe I started preaching it here because Brother Miguel, who was around, remember that. In 2015, I began to preach about this plague that was coming upon the earth, all over the earth. And some people, after 2 years, 2018, preaching about it, began to rebuke me and said, Brother Elvie, for 3 years now, you're talking about this plague that you keep saying will be all over the world, but nothing has happened yet, Brother Elvie. Are you okay? What's going on, brother? You keep talking about this, but nothing has happened. You know, can you go back to God? Can you check? Because this made no sense. No sense. Then in 2019, God told me it was here. And I got so excited, you know. I was in heaven, saw the Lord bigger than the heaven, with Father. I mean, it was so incredible. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, you're going to have to listen to the beginning again. And so you know, it was so exciting. I come down in the beginning of 2019 from heaven. I remember I was so excited, and I come and speak about this plague. It's recorded that is coming upon the earth. And then I get rebuked again, Brother Elvie. I've been listening to you for 2015, the sister said. Where in 2019, where is the plague that you said is going to be all over the world? Are you, Brother Elvie, you know, some people have started listening to you and call you full prophet, Brother Elvie. And I'm going to be doing the same. I'm going to assume that you're a full prophet, Brother Elvie, because you keep talking about, I said, sis, God told me this plague was already among us in 2019. So I'm just giving out the word. But it's not for me to know the day when it's going to hit the earth and all that. She contacts me December, I believe, or November 2019. There's a plague starting in China, Brother Elvie. But it's just to play locally in China. I don't think that's even going to come to the U.S., okay? Because we have such a great medical system here in the United States. If a play like that comes, it won't even spread, Brother Ovi. We'll take care of it right away. And I say, if that's the one, that is the one God told me was among us already. And then November, February, March, it was all over the U.S. practically. My brother and sister said, Brother Ovi, they apologize. Both the sister and the brother. We're so sorry, Brother Ovi. We're so sorry. What I'm saying to you is this. The Lord told me this year will not pass until this judgment come. Okay? Some of you think I'm a full prophet for that. My brother and sister, I told you to take it to God in prayer. Go to the Lord. Go to God. My brother, so you don't get in trouble with God. God don't like his prophet to be called full prophet. When I thought I was a full prophet, I went to Jesus. The Lord came to me, and I said, Lord, back in 2012, I'm a full prophet. And the Lord said to me, no, you are not. Again, Lord, I'm a full prophet. I kept telling him. He says, no, you are not. You said what you heard, what you were told. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. My brother and sister, judgment is at the door this year. God wants people to be ready and repent. I don't know what else I can do to tell people that I started feeling disappointed and the Father ministered to me again, my brothers and sisters, because I feel that a lot of people don't want to believe God, don't want to believe the message, think I'm a full prophet for saying judgment is coming this year, and they prefer to judge me than to take it to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, would you confirm this to me? I said to you many years ago, and I said again, I could be doing something else, but the Lord wants me to be doing this. I want to be obedient to the Lord and do this for the Lord. I am putting out my heart to you, letting you know, my brother and sister, hallelujah. I don't know why some people think I want to entertain them than preaching them the truth, my brother and sister. If the Lord doesn't take me to heaven, I'm not going to tell you the Lord took me to heaven. Only when he does is when I say it. And in some time, if I'm not sure about something, I take it to him who knows all things that he has said to me. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. When I begin to question what the Lord says to me, the Lord had an angel come in the spirit and take me out of my body and took me among the angels. And the angel that were there, one of the leaders says to me, looked to my eyes and said, when the Lord, the spoken word of the Lord, is in maximum authority. In other words, it is not for me to doubt what the Lord has said, just because there are people doubting the word. If they're doubting the word, that's on them with God. But me as his prophet, I should not doubt what he said. Or question it. Just believe what he said and stand on his word and promise. I believe the judgment this year is going to show that God has spoken, but also makes me sad that people that should be ready for the judgment that is coming are not getting ready for it and are arguing and debating. That's not of God. For us to get into fight of argument and all that. Time is too short, my brother and sister. This judgment is going to kill millions. This is something this nation has not seen. And it's at hand. Are you emotionally prepared for this? Because this is really going to break a lot of people's heart. God doesn't mean it to break your heart. God, it means for us to humble ourselves. That's what he means by this. Humble us and think about our own lives. Think about his love and mercy that he's been having with us. But a lot of people that are hard in their heart are about to experience the biggest pain because their beloved city are about to be destroyed in the eastern part of the United States. San Francisco, California is about to be destroyed. This judgment, California will not escape it. It had escaped other judgment. I was even thinking since in the past, I know the Lord has spoken about destroying California, But many have repented, and God has repented of the judgment he had declared and delayed the judgment. But not this time. This time it's eight. Father, I remember what he says, and I told you this from him. No more time will be given. Father God knows the heart and mind. And when he says no more time will be given, my brother and sister, no more time will be given. I'm sorry for the people that love California, the people that live there. But that state is about to be devastated by an earthquake. Pray for you and your family that you can make it through. Let's keep our brothers and sisters in California and people in the eastern of the United States in prayer. Fast for them. Pray for them. Let's even ask the Lord to show them the judgment that is about to happen. Because some people have seen it, and they are so trembling and scared. Because what they're getting is this is about to happen any day now, my brother and sister. Any day now, California will be destroyed. And they are wonderful people of the Lord there. There are people that are seeking the Lord and repenting. But we know that if they lose their life, they're not losing their life, they'll be with the Lord. But this is it, my brother and sister. This is it. This is what I want people to understand. Millions of people's lives are at stake now, at the end of the road. And instead of arguing with one another, we should be praying for these people, taking the time to fast, taking the time to go to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy for the souls that needs to repent and be ready, and that they can get right with God before it's too late. Because once the judgment happens, that's it. There will be no going back. And this is what people don't understand. I heard when the Lord said to the sister, when there was time left, I came to you months and years ago to warn my people and to tell them to get ready, to tell them to prepare. And I knew the time that was left, the Lord says. But now we come to the end where there's no time left. And no more time will be given. What am I for me to do, the Lord says, but to tell you to be ready? Because this is it. This is it. I was telling God as I was going up in this rapture experience. And I shoot at 25, 26. They, my brother and sister. Very, I heard it years ago. I felt it in my heart, in my spirit. About the 25, 26. Now, I'm thinking of December. I don't know what December, but if we're in the last year, now it can be any month also. I saw a brother saying this month of March is Pentecost days. I don't know what day will fall, like to the end of the month. And then we got another celebration, Passover in April. And every month has an important day. Someone was saying, you know that this lunar eclipse coming in April 8th, it's not coming back, I don't know how many years, I think it's, someone said 64 years. We're not going to see another one. This is it. This is it. So this one is supposed to bring big judgment to our nation and the world. And look how significant. And the way this lunar eclipse comes, there's like an X over the United States. That X is extermination. It's final. It's forming an X, okay? It happens a lot. In 30 years, someone's saying. And then someone said like in 64 years, it's not going to happen again. We won't see that again. These are signs of the end that are very important. And I heard someone that the Lord said to this person, that this lunar eclipse is very important, very significant compared to one of his signs. So God is saying it's important. It's showing how important it is in regard to the timing. There's no time left. The woman that's about to have the baby is 9 months due. Just by knowing that the woman is 9 months and zero time, God's spoken it through the Supreme Court. That's a sign God's given us through the Supreme Court. That if Abraham Lincoln was alive and saw those numbers coming out of the Supreme Court, I think he would have gotten on his knee and worshiped God, worshiped the Lord. And you will be saying, Abraham, what are you doing? And Abraham will look at you with tears on his eyes and said, don't you see the sign? This is a sign from the Almighty given to us. Abraham Lincoln would have said to you. But the Abraham Lincoln went to heaven, and very few are following his footsteps, are serving the Lord. My brother and sister, there were many Abraham Lincoln that stayed behind, who loved the Lord, who prayed for their nations, who said, God bless America, who believe in God blessing America. When God showed me Abraham Lincoln back in his time, I saw a man of prayer. He prayed 8+ hours every day. I saw him on his knees in the Oval Office praying 8 hours. He got killed young, remember? He got killed. Abraham Lincoln got killed. My brother, for wanting to unite the country, where other people did not, he sought to do the best for his fellow men, and he got killed for it. My brother and sister, when Donald Trump began his campaign, he said he wanted to be like Abraham Lincoln, my brother and sister. Wanted to be like him. He loved everything he did, everything he stood for. But he loved the Lord, and the Lord showed him to me praying 8 hours in the Oval Office. I never seen anyone praying so much with tears coming down his eyes in the presence of the Lord. The Lord loved him so much. He's in heaven with God, looking down to his nations. You know how brokenhearted he might be for his nation now? His nation that God told them in 1737, 35 it was, that he will rise a nation called America that will be the most powerful nations. It will prophesy 40-plus years before America was born in 1776. My brother and sister. Huh? 40-plus years God prophesied through his prophet, thus saith the Lord, I will raise a nation that will stand for freedom and truth, which will support my word being preached around the nations. America has been a lie in the middle of darkness for this world, for his gospel to be preached, who will stand behind my nation Israel. America has stand behind the Jewish people before they became a nation, my brother and sister. Before they became a nation, America stand with them. It was a beacon of light from God Almighty, by his mercy, by from those men who faithfully saw him, seeked him. And when the first president of the United States came into office, they showed the love of God. Abraham Lincoln and all those first presidents have letters thanking God from their own writing, talking about their relationship with God and the salvation they received from Jesus Christ in their own writing. My brother and sister, hallelujah. It's been a beacon of life, a blessing to all the nations. This nation that God promised 40-plus years before it was born. And now the same nations that God said after the falling of Germany that it will give America 70 years. And if America will turn away from his ways after that 70 years, it will be destroyed. The 70 years came to pass already. Okay? And America now has gone in the time of judgment. America has become Babylon the Great. America is coming down, my brother and sister. 70 year mercy had ended for America, as God has said, my brother and sister. It's sad, but this is the time we're in. This is the time we're in. And I feel a lot of people are not getting it. We're in a year of judgment. We're in a year of destruction. We're in a year where God is rising prophet on YouTube almost every day saying destruction is at hand. Destruction is at hand, my people. Prepare. My people be ready. My people have enough food supply. Stock up in your home. Destruction is at hand from the Almighty. Over Babylon the Great. It will be destroyed. It will be no more. Hallelujah. Prepare. Be unrepenting. Be on your knees. Be crying out to God. Be praying for your own, for your children, for your children. Pray for your children. Pray for your own family. Prepare. Humble yourself. Humble yourself, my people. Be ready to come home. Be ready for the sounds of the trumpet. Trumpet will sound, he says. He's about to take his people home. Oh, my Lord, my God. Thank you, Jesus. He's about to take his people home. He's about to get his head out of the way because the nation will be destroyed. Babylon will be destroyed. He has said through his prophet, John, in one hour her judgment will come. And he says to them, pay her double. Pay her double. 1 hour her judgment is coming. My brother and sister, it's coming. It's coming from the Almighty. He has said he will destroy her. In 1 hour, my brother and sister, Russia has been allowed to make missiles that can destroy this nation in 1 hour. China also has been allowed to make missiles and planes that can destroy this nation in 1 hour. America has made planes that can travel 3 to 5 and 6 a speed faster than sound. Russia has doubled that. And they don't even know how. China has doubled that. And they don't even know how. The engineer and scientist, he has crushed in their head. How can China do this? How can Russia do this? We're talking about in the last month, my brothers and sisters, the last few months, they've been able to come across, could be by mistake or by discovery, to make weapons that can take out this nation in 1 hour. When have you heard such a thing? When have you seen such a thing? That things that they were not able to make in 60 and 70 years, in the last few months, they've been able to make it that can destroy this nation in 1 hour or less. My brother, God's word is the truth. God is truthful, and no man's a liar. My brother and sister, it's here. Destruction is at hand. It is at hand. And people are not ready. They should be repenting. They should be on their knees. They should be crying for God. My brother and sister, I feel so broken lately. I've been broken all day long. I was broken yesterday. I cannot understand what I feel. It is too strong for our nation, for the people. I see people arguing. I see people disagreeing, and our nation is about to be destroyed. We are here with children. Millions of people about to lose their life. How can we think about anything else? Millions. And people, instead of humbling themselves to the Lord, are in other things. They don't understand. Their vacation is over. Their prosperity is over. My brother and sister, what do you think happens when the eastern part of the United States anymore? When Florida, Georgia, Maryland, Washington, D.C., and all these states going up, Pennsylvania, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, no more. They won't be able to sustain themselves. They need the help from the rest of the other state. California will be no more. Most every product you buy in the supermarket says from California. Brothers and sisters, milk from these states. A bunch of things from California. Corn. So many products being made in California. Coffee. People are about to lose everything they enjoy. And 1 hour comes of destruction. My brother and sister, she gets paid double. She gets paid double for her evil. My brother and sister, we're about to lose every food in our supermarket. Over 14 years ago, when Jesus showed me this day that we're in today, once this judgment happened, I saw people looting and stealing. I was having 2 years ago a dream about this. People came here to the front of my house trying to take our food by force. And I was telling Brother Ben, I had even told Brother Tony, my wife and them, look, we were trying to hold these people back from stealing our food. We were telling them, look, we will share our food with you. We'll cook like we will share, but we cannot allow you to take all of our food. And they said, no, we're going to take it all. We're going to take it all. And we said, we're not going to allow you to, my brother and sister. People have said, brother, what are we going to do? How are we going to hold off these people? All these people are from our neighbor looted and trying to take our food by force. Brother Elvie, what are we going to do? We're going to pray and trust the Lord through this. The Lord said he will be with us. The Lord said he will provide our need according to his riches and glory, my brother and sister. Oh, my brother, this is here. This is here. We're talking about days. Days in this nation is no more. Someone seen, the Lord showed me 3 or 4 days ago, no power. Our country blacked out. That was last week, actually. Blackout completely. No internet. No cell phone. Cell tower, they were gone, completely gone. I don't know what kind of weapon they're going to use, but cell tower going to be toast. No use. And I can see people trying to use the cell phone, trying to catch signal. Nothing, nothing, not even one stick. Nothing, gone, no use. I was telling my brother Tony, look, I saw my brother Tony book to and fro, very worried about his family from Indiana. He's with us here in North Carolina. And the Lord showed me, he's so worried about things. I said to him a few days ago, here, brother, let's put some food together, rice, bucket, whatever. Take it to Indiana, brother, and come back. And I know it's a long trip, 7-hour travel, my brother and sister. And he made the effort. He's back already. He went and gave his family the emergency food they need, his mother, his brother, his father. Why, my brother and sister? Because God showed him to me, so worried and concerned. He's our brother in Christ. He's going to be with us here until we're raptured together. But he doesn't want to be here in that condition where he knows his parents had no food at home, emergency food supply. He said, no, we got plenty. Go and take something to them. Thank you, Lord, and he did. And we thank God he went and God kept him on the way safe, brought him back safe. Thank you, Lord, when praying for him. That's what we want. Help one another when we need it. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Because this emergency has God shown me. Now, this volcano in California is going to awaken, the Yellowstone volcano. And the lava was all over the country. It was feet of lava all over the cart, all over the ground, all over the grass. You could not see the green grass because of the lava. And I knew it was in better weather because we're coming out of the winter already. We're going into better weather now, okay? And I also know that this year is going to be one of the hotter years for us, California, New Mexico, and Texas. Look at the fire in Texas when the worst is not here yet. Texas, millions of acres on fire. And Texas had not experienced what they experienced last year. Months of dry season. My brother and sister, lakes, river dry, completely, completely dry. Well, this year, it's going to be 10 times or 20 times worse for Texas. 10 or 20 times or 30 times worse for California. 30 times worse for New Mexico. My brother and sister, states that have not seen fire like Texas is having, they're going to see it this. The Lord, one state he mentioned is Tennessee, someone said. Tennessee this year is about to experience fire, but we're neighbor with Tennessee here in North Carolina. So you can imagine that North Carolina is going to have this fire. We experienced temperature this year 123 Fahrenheit. Okay? This year is going to be 133. California experienced 143. It's going to experience this year 153 temperature. Houses are going to catch fire in California, New Mexico. And Texas is going to experience up close to the 40s. Almost 140 temperature, 135, 137 Texas. And even higher, 139 maybe. My brother and sister. It's already, scientists already, I go online in this page and scientists already got the temperature for every state that are coming up this summer. It's going to be hot, 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 river dry, lake dry. It's going to be hell. The Lord should get his people out of here because In New Mexico, when they had the heat, many of the older die. Okay? And this year, they're going to get 10 degrees more. Whoever's left is going to be gone this year in New Mexico. Heat is going to be 153 Fahrenheit for months in a row. It's too much. Okay? The electrical system is not going to take. You go out in your car is not going to take it either. That is too high for your car for you to be driving around with it. It's just going to be too bad this year. This is a year, my brother and sister, that when people say the Lord has to take his people home this year, because no one will be able to take those temperatures that are coming up. Scientists are saying 10 degrees more. Unbearable. Fires, and then we look at the fire we had last year that came on down from Canada. All that smoke that came over. North Carolina came that smoke. New York, all these states up here felt that smoke coming out of Canada. This year is going to be worse. This year you're going to have California, New Mexico, Texas that already started, Canada, and a lot of the Central America, Central here state on fire, my brothers and sisters. They were showing a map of all the states that were on fire last year. This year, you can imagine 30 or 40 states on fire at the same time. How are they going to turn all that fire off, my brother and sister? You see why God's getting his people out of here? Entire city are going to be on fire. Someone had a dream. Pennsylvania already, God already gave him a dream a few days ago. So Pennsylvania on fire. The state of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is close to New Jersey and New York. Supposed to be one of the coldest states. Temperature is only going to hit up in the 30s. And they saw the city, the state on fire, like Texas, more than 1 million acres a few days ago. My God showed this to this person this year. Pennsylvania, the north. So you get New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey on fire this year. How do you like that? You think this is a time to lay low? This is a time to seek the Lord more than ever. Commit a life to him. Cry out to him for help, my brother and sister. Because all these fire burning property, burning building, killing people, burning field of rice and many more other things, all that reduces the food. What sustains humanity will be reduced almost to nothing. Looting, robbing, stealing, and killing, it's going to be everywhere, my brother and sister. Yes, in Minnesota, we're also affected by the fire. Thank you, sister. It's going to be terrible. And God is saying it before it comes so people can prepare, have emergency water, have emergency food, where if your state is on fire and smoke is everywhere, you can stay indoor. And this experience the Lord gave me last week, of Yellowstone volcano going up, lava everywhere all over the country, we cannot even go out to our car to drive off because you have 3 and 4 feet of lava. My brother and sister, lava from the volcano, 3 and 4 feet. You'll be driving right through the lava. You will lose your view on the road knowing which way to go. You will crash. You'll get into an accident. God don't want us to be getting into no accident, my brother and sister, because then you have to walk back home. And who's going to help you? When all the emergencies were going off everywhere, God wants you to stay indoor with your family. My other advice was to tell people, I remember on Tuesday night, is change your system air conditioner filter. Make sure you have a few filters on hand in your house, okay? And keep those things on hand. So when this comes, make sure you're supposed to change them every 3 months. You're going to have to probably change them every week or every few days. So you may want to keep 20 and 30 of them on hand. Be ready. And then buy plenty of water. Keep it indoor. The moment this is going off in Yellowstone, it's going to be all over the news. Run to the store. Get plenty of water. People can look at you like you're crazy. But for our family, for us, we need to be this way because we cannot go out. Now, the other thing will be power outages. Try to get some backup, maybe for your cell phone, because you can use your cell phone light. Remember, you may not use your cell phone But until the judgment hit, cell phones will be out, but you can use your cell phone light. You know, if there's no light in your house in the middle of the night, you know, I had prepared a backup for that with solar, but all that lava will come on top of the solar. What power are they going to collect? Nothing. So that's going to be another issue for people who have solar like us. It will be affected anyway. Everyone will be affected. This is not like someone will be better than the other one, but having what you need inside your house is basically what's going to keep us safer than the people that will be going out there in those conditions. Because even if you wear a mask, it's going to be worse. Breathing under a mask, walking or running, all that complicates your health. It's going to be terrible. So don't put yourself in that situation where you're going to have to go out during those worst conditions to try to get mail, to try to get water, to try to get food. Try to have dry food in your house. As much as you can, dry milk. Things like that you can use right away. If you cannot get, you know, yes, use battery, solar generator. And indoor, yes, you can put them close to the window and collect power to charge your cell phone or to charge your emergency lighting. And do whatever you can. So far, we have gone through the winter. We're getting close to through spring. So it's easier now to manage our life during these emergencies. I'm glad these things didn't happen during the colder months of the year for us. Because let's not just flee your run, Jesus said in Matthew 24, be in winter. So that to us is an advice. Don't let it be in winter. And so I thank the Lord for that. It did not happen in winter. So if it happened in spring and summer, whenever it's going to happen, it's coming. Then we can manage better. And when I saw it, it looks like it was going from winter to summer or from spring to summer during that time. Like it was in a spring better time, which is better for us. That's the mercy of God right there. Not wanting us who have children to suffer even more. Because staying indoors, keeping children indoors is very difficult. They want to go outside. They want to see how that lava feel like it and play with it. But it's not breathable. It's not safe to breathe. I looked it up already. It can cause harm to your lung. It can really cause complications to your health. Look it up. You can Google it. There's a bunch of medical sites where you can look up the information what lava can cause to your body, to your lung, and they do not recommend you breathing lava, volcanic lava. It's really harmful to your health. So it's something that we have to consider, especially as I have children, to keep our children indoor, and they may come to the condition where we will need masks. I have a box of masks, I think 40 or 50 masks, that if we have to wear, and I'm keeping it just for emergency. If we have to wear, we're going to put it on. But it's so on to the moment we are raptured. After that, we throw away our mask. We leave it behind. My brother and sister, the Lord is faithful. He's going to get us out of here. God's going to get us out of here. I'm glad the woman is 9 months every time. That means our going home, as the Lord says, we're coming home. God says, we are coming home. That's what he says to me. I said to you, he says to me. I said to you, you are coming home. Here it is, he says. I got excited when Father said that to me. Because he knows the day and hour. He knows. And hearing him speaking to me, it really brought me an excitement. He knows I've been really wanting this and wondering. Because the events that are going to follow are going to be so terrible for this earth. And this nation being destroyed in 1 hour, Russia and China are ready to destroy in 1 hour or less. We don't want to be around. We do not want to be around. We want to be out of here, my brother insisted. You know, the Lord said, remember when he talked to me that we will see the judgment like the Eastern Tsunami. I was watching this sister online. Her name is Crystal. She has a page. And she tell her testimony. And this is what the Lord showed her. I shouldn't play it here. I shouldn't have it ready. But I'm going to say it in my own words. The Lord said to her, the Lord showed to her in a dream. She saw the Eastern Tsunami coming that is about to come. And she saw a huge wave coming all the way through Florida, up through the Eastern part of the United, destroying everything. And as I was coming up, immediately during, the expectation of this coming up, at that very moment, looking at that way coming up, the shofar, the trumpet sound for the church is going on. Boom, and the Lord let her know. At that moment, you see that coming, I'm taking you out of the way, my people. And she shared her testimony. She saw the way coming. At that very moment, she saw the rapture happening, my brother and sister. And that excited me. When the way she described it, I know this. The same day, because I was standing in the spirit, I was still living in Massachusetts over 14 years ago, standing in the spirit, I saw the way hit all the way to Boston. And that same day, we were here in North Carolina, but we had not yet come here. But the Lord, that's the way the Lord was showing it to me, that we will be here. So you know that God knows everything, including every hair we have in our head. I was standing here. We were looking toward the beach from the mountain. Everyone here standing looking because we could see all the devastation of the tsunami. That very day began the 3 days of darkness. It was a Friday. That very day. How do I know that this tsunami coming up is on a Friday? On the almost end of the week, Friday. And that's what I was saying, Brother Tony. How do I know? Because the Lord showed it to me that way. It was that Friday. It was like when Jesus got crucified. You know that the day, I didn't know this. I learned so much about Friday. My brother, who followed this from Rabbi, from Torah, from these different things, Rabbi he followed, he was telling me, you know that the day Adam and Eve sinned was on a Friday before the rest? Oh, I didn't know that. He was telling me this. And he's telling me all these things that happened on a Friday, including the day Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed. I didn't know it was on a Friday. And then he goes on and on telling me all these events that happened on a Friday, from the garden, from Adam and Eve in the garden, all the way to Jesus being crucified on a Friday and dying before 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Before 6, adding any sin and we're kicked out of the garden. Before 6, the water came and destroyed the earth. Before 6, Noah and his family went into the ark. I didn't know this. And he, from the Hebrew Bible, this rabbi was teaching this. Before 6 o'clock, before Shabbat, they call it before Shabbat. Before Shabbat began at 6 p.m. Friday, Noah and them went in the ark. Before 6, Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed. Messiah got crucified before 6. He died on the cross. That's why when they went to break his bone, they could not. I believe it was already Shabbat. It began. And then darkness came on the earth from 6 to 9, my brother and sister. They have a whole list of what happened before 6 o'clock on Shabbat, starting from the garden. And I was like, wow. I didn't know this. He said, you don't know this? I didn't know it. I'm honestly telling you, I did not know this. To me, this is new. This is really new. I didn't know this. I know about the Lord being dying on the cross before 6. But I didn't know Adam sinning before 6 o'clock and being kicked out before 6 because it came to rest and they could not enter into the rest of the Lord because of the sinning, okay? And he also said God created them also before 6 o'clock on Friday so they can enter into the rest. My brother says, so much before 6 has happened that I didn't know, and it's all there in the Bible. My brother and sister, which I thought it was awesome. He was telling me, and I'm there like a child jumping up and down and sliding. This is incredible. And he can put all the Bible together. And I said, this is awesome. This is why, because I seen the 3 days of darkness. It began to get dark before 6 on Friday afternoon. It's getting dark before 6. By the time it's 6,
like it happens in the Bible, the crucifixion of Jesus from 6 to 9 was total darkness. That's what we're going to experience coming that Friday, my brothers and sisters. Go on and on. Then 10 a.m. in the morning, getting so dark. By noon, completely dark on Saturday, my brothers and sisters. It comes from Saturday, and then what happens Sunday morning? Resurrection day. My brothers, new beginning. New beginning. We get a glorified body. The Lord comes. Give us a glorified body. For those that will work in the revival. It's all, God has it all in such a time, in such a way, that it's all going to fall before six. And then by Sunday morning, first day of the week, which is for the Jewish people, we begin a new beginning because it's a new week. It's a new beginning for us. That's why everything seems new to me. And it's because during the 3 days of darkness, all these evil things are going on the earth. My brother and sister, the question is, someone said, what do we need to have a 3 days of darkness? Well, why did Moses and the people have to have a 3 days of darkness? Because God was leading them into a new beginning, my brother and sister. So the angel comes, kill the firstborn, and they leave Egypt. It's going from death to life. They did celebrate their Passover, my brother and sister. And boom, they leave. Thank you, Lord. The Lord told us to celebrate it until he comes. Okay? Because we're going into a new life. The old passes away. We have no memory of it. We go into a new life to enjoy God, everything God has for each and one of us. My brother and sister, do not miss the Lord. Do not miss his departure. Because this is practically among us. And some people are so occupied. Some people are so focused on this earth right now that they might miss the rapture. And if you're not waiting for, how are you going to receive something you're not waiting for? Something that you have given up on it? No. When you wait for, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says for the church, when you wait for something, you're waiting to receive it. Which that's what the Lord said to me years ago. If you don't believe in my rapture, if you're not looking for me to come, you're not coming home with me. And then I understood what Paul says to the churches. When you are waiting for something earnestly, you're looking to receive it. Because earnestly, you're looking for it. My brother and sister, but seeing that people are not waiting for the day, so many people are not earnestly waiting. Waiting. Let me, thank you, Lord. It's in Romans 8. I know it's in Romans 8. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's important that we wait for. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, God. He is coming in the cloud. All eyes will see him. They will see him. Hallelujah. He said he will come. Thank you, Jesus. For the earnest expectation of the creature awaited for the manifestation of the Son of God. That earnest expectation right now must be in each believer, waiting for the Son of God. Okay? And then Paul says, for the creature was made subjected to vanity, not willingly, by the reason of him who has suggested the same, in the hope. Because the creature itself also should be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So we know that the whole creation groaned, travailed, and pained together until now. Hallelujah. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but the hope is seeing it is not hope. For what a man see, what does he just hope for it? But we hope for that which we see not, and do we with patience wait for it. See, having that hope inside us, it makes a hope for it. We're patient. We don't see it, but we are about to see the mighty miracle of the rapture, the departure of the bride of Christ. Mighty miracle. And this mighty judgment that Babylon, God said, will be destroyed in 1 hour. And we are dwelling in Babylon. We are among the nation that is going to be destroyed in one single hour. We'll bring more on Tuesday. We're still here. But if we're not here, we'll meet ourselves in heaven. Shalom.
About a dream that dates back to 1937. It was had by a 17-year-old boy, and it caused quite a stir among the Pentecostal people at that time throughout America, because it was publicized in this magazine, Prophecies of Tomorrow. And I'd always just been able to get excerpts of it. Somebody said he said this and saw this and saw this. But the other day I was sitting up there in Canada, and a young boy began to ask me questions about the earthquake, because he'd heard my sermons on prophecy, and began to ask me, and one of them spoke up and says, "Well, you ever heard this?" And Danny O'Million is the one who did. He said, "Well, Brother Green, I know where that is." So they looked me up a copy of it that their father had way back a long time ago. Now, I want to give you some dates on this so that you'll understand and try to get the feeling of it. 1906 is when the San Francisco earthquake occurred. You know, the one everybody talks about, the great San Francisco earthquake. Now, that one happened at the beginning of the year, and then right about that time, the Azusa Street Revival happened also. Were you aware of that? That you know that they came together. There were some people then that felt that the earthquake in San Francisco was a sign from God, and that it caused people to be receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ in Azusa Street. This young boy had an accident. He was riding his horse, and he fell off of the horse, and he was in the hospital. And he had a severe headache. I don't know whether he had a head injury or what it was, but this, the best that I can decipher it, he dreamed four nights in a row. And each night, a little bit more detail. Some of the things was repeated. So I want you to notice as I read this, keep in mind it was in 1937. And remember the things that were not available in 1937. That were not there, that he saw. Now, this created a stir in 1938 when it was published. But they didn't know then whether these things is going to be. But when you see now the things that he saw have come to pass, then we should look at it and says, well, he was someplace. Remember in the film, Deep Called Deep, Brother Branham said, you take a dreamer. He says, dream me a dream. You can't dream a dream if you want to. He said, now a seer says his subconscious knowledge right here, and said he can dream a dream with his eyes wide open. But some people have a deep subconscious and they go to sound asleep and they never dream a dream. But he said, if you dream a dream, that's part of you that's somewhere. That's another dimension. So let me try to give you this tonight in a few minutes. There's about four or five pages of it here. And let me just give it to you. He said, I was in the hospital room with a terrific headache. And he said, it was as the whole world was revolving inside my brain. Vaguely, the fall from my horse, Blackie. And as I lay there, pictures began to form in my mind. Pictures that moved with the speed of lightning, but pictures that stood still. I seemed to be in another world. Whether it was in the future or whether it was in some ancient land, I can't say. Then slowly, like the screen of the talkies, but with color and smell and sound. Remember, it was silent movies back then. I seemed to find myself in Los Angeles. It was Los Angeles. It was bigger, much bigger. There were buses and odd-shaped cars crowded the city streets. I thought about Hollywood Boulevard. And I found myself there on Hollywood Boulevard. Whether this is true, I don't know, but there was a lot of guys about my age, 17, but they had beards. And some of them were wearing earrings. All the girls wore short skirts, and they slouched along, moving like a dance. He said, I wondered if I could talk to them. I said, hello, but they didn't hear me or see me. I decided that I would look as funny to them as they looked to me. I tried for a while, but that crazy kind of walk, I guess it's something you have to learn. I couldn't do it. How many of you know what he's talking about now? I noticed there was a quietness, a kind of stillness, as if you could hear stillness. Something was missing, something that should be here. At first, I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know what it was, but then I did. There were no birds. I listened. I walked 2 blocks north on the boulevard, past all the houses, but no birds. I wondered what had happened to them. Had they gone away? Where? It was so still I could hear the stillness. I'd never experienced anything like that, but I listened. Just stillness. Then I knew something was going to happen. I wondered what year it was. It certainly was not 1937. I saw a newspaper on the corner with a picture of the president. It wasn't Mr. Roosevelt. He was bigger, heavier, had big ears. If it wasn't 1937, I wondered what year it was. I looked at the mast of the headline, and I couldn't quite make it out, but it looked like 1969. I wasn't sure. My eyes weren't functioning on it, but something was coming, and it was. The nurse woke me up to take my temperature. I woke up thinking, what a crazy dream. The next night, he said, my headache is worse. It's a wonder I didn't get killed on that horse. I've had another crazy dream. It was back in Hollywood. I saw those people, and I wondered, why do they dress like that? I found myself back on the boulevard. But this time I was waiting for there was something to happen. Something big was going to happen, and I was going to be there. I looked up at the clock down by that big theater. It was 4:10, 3:50 in the afternoon. That's where all the movie stars put their handprints and footprints and names and all. I recognized a few of them. The other names I'd never heard. Those crazy kids. Why are they all dressed like that? Maybe it's some Halloween doings or something. But it don't seem like Halloween. He had pretty good perception, didn't he? He said it was more like early spring. There was that sound again, that lack of sound. Stillness, stillness, stillness. He wondered, don't these people know that the birds have gone somewhere? The quiet is getting bigger and bigger. I know it's going to happen. Something's going to happen. It's happening now. And again, the nurse woke him up. The next night, he dreamed again. Where have I been? He said, rather, where haven't I been? I've been to the ends of the earth and back. I've been to the end of the world. There isn't anything left, not even Fresno, even though I'm lying right there this minute. So he was in the hospital in Fresno. If only my eyes would get a little clearer so I could write all this down, nobody will believe me anyway. I'm going back to that last moment on the boulevard. He said this, some sweet kid went past, and he's talking about a girl that he saw. Said she was dragging little boys, twins, I guess, one by each hand. Her skirt was up, well, pretty high, and she had a tired look. I thought for a minute I could ask her about the birds, what had happened to them, and then I remembered she didn't see me. Her hair was all frizzy, way out all over her head. 1937, young girl, twin, mini skirt, looked like she's tired. You ever seen one under the influence? Frizzy hair. A lot of them I looked at looked like that, but she looked so tired and like she was sorry about something. I guess she was sorry before it happened, because it surely did happen. There was a funny smell. I don't know where it come from. I didn't like it. It smelled like sulfuric acid. It smelled like death. For a minute, I thought I was back in chemistry class. When I looked around for the girl, she was gone. I wanted to find her for some reason. It was if I knew something was going to happen and I could stay with her and help her. But she was gone, and I walked half a block, then saw the clock again. My eyes seemed glued on that clock. I couldn't move. I just waited. It was 5 minutes to 4 o'clock on a sunny afternoon. I thought I would stand there looking at that clock forever, waiting for the something to come. Then when it came, it was nothing. It was just nothing. It wasn't nearly as hard as the earthquake that we'd had 2 years before, and that's the one in 1935. The ground shook just an instant. People looked at each other, surprised. Then they laughed. I laughed too. So this was what I had been waiting for, this funny little shake. It meant nothing. I was relieved, and I was disappointed. What had I been waiting for? I started back up the boulevard, moving my legs like those kids. How did they do that? He said, I never found out. I felt as if the ground wasn't solid under me. I knew I was dreaming, and yet I wasn't dreaming. There was that smell again, coming like from the ocean. I was getting to the 5 and 10, Newberry. And I saw the look on the kids' faces. Two of them were right in front of me, coming my way, both with beards and one with earrings. One said, let's get out of this place. Let's go back east. He seemed scared. It was as if the sidewalks were trembling, but you couldn't seem to see them. Not with your eyes, you couldn't. And an old lady had a dog, a little white dog, and she stopped and looked scared and grabbed him in her arms and said, let's go home, Frau Frau. Mama's going to take you home. That poor little old lady hanging on to her dog. I got scared, real scared. I remembered the girl. She was way down the block, probably. I started to run. I ran and ran, and the ground kept trembling. I couldn't see it. I couldn't feel it, but I knew it was trembling. Everybody looked scared. They looked terrible.
Oh, should we start this show?
Yeah, I'm down. Just buying a car in Carvana first.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do is answer a few questions.
Ooh, that's helpful.
And now just customizing my down and monthly payments.
Oh, that's a very fair deal.
Yep. Boom. Just bought a car. And you get to take me to the Carvana vending machine in a couple days to pick it up.
Ooh. I'm kind of busy.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval.
The wait is over, college hoops fans. FanDuel, America's number one sports book, is officially live in North Carolina. And right now, new customers get $250 in bonus bets guaranteed when you bet your first $5. Just go to FanDuel.com/NCLive to sign up. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to over-unders to which team will cut down the nets. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Take the court with $250 in bonus bets. Win or lose when you place your first $5 bet. Visit FanDuel.com/NCLive to get started. FanDuel, America's number one sports book. 21 plus and present in North Carolina. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov.